And now, Jim Dearman.
What a great thought is expressed in Isaiah 1:18, where the prophet says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Scarlet. Scarlet is the key to forgiveness of sins. The scarlet thread, we might say, that runs throughout the Bible, culminating in the scarlet-red blood of Christ, as it were, shed upon the cross of Calvary, which makes possible the forgiveness of sins, which cleanses, which makes us white as snow. The scarlet thread, as we said, is something we can see running throughout the Bible, and it points out the beautiful harmony of the Word of God and points out to us the harmony of God's plan, the unity of God's plan for the salvation of mankind. A plan that culminated or ended in Jesus Christ and in His ultimate sacrifice for us. In Joshua chapter 2, there's an account of Rahab the harlot, as you may recall. As the spies came into the land, they made a pact or an agreement with her, since she helped the people of God, that when they took the city of Jericho, she would not be destroyed, she and her family. And in Joshua chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, we read, "Unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down," here are the conditions now, "unless you do that, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him." Here was the agreement that they made. In other words, the sign was to be the scarlet thread that they were to see when they took the city of Jericho. And though they would destroy everything else, the scarlet thread would keep them from destroying those who stayed within the confines of that house. Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, her whole household. That's the record of the requirement of the spies that Joshua sent across the Jordan River as they informed Rahab how she and her people might be spared when the Israelites captured Jericho. Now, the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews states that Rahab was saved by faith in Hebrews 11:31, and James in James 2 states that she was justified by works, James 2:25. Is there a contradiction here? Saved by faith, saved by works? No. She was saved by faith that was strong enough to work. She was thus protected, and her house was identified by the scarlet thread. A different colored line would not have been sufficient, would it? The scarlet thread had to be there. It had to be visible. And the point is, a scarlet thread runs from Genesis to Malachi, and from Malachi to Revelation, from Eden to the cross, and from the cross to the crown. One who fails to come in contact with the scarlet thread and to continue the connection will fail to receive salvation. Just as Rahab would have died and her family, along with her, had the scarlet thread not been visible, the scarlet thread that runs throughout the Scripture, throughout God's plan for saving man, is vitally important for our salvation. Concerning Rahab's house, there was just one house in which there was salvation from the destruction of the city of Jericho. There was only one family in that house. There was only one family name for the people in that house, and that house was identified and protected by the scarlet thread. Now, let's go back to see the beginning of the scarlet line through Scriptures. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they made themselves garments of leaves, remember? But that was not sufficient. God made them coats of skin and clothed them, Genesis 3:21 tells us. It points out to us that man cannot cover sin any more successfully without God's help than they can cover their nakedness without His help. Thus, blood had to be shed to hide the shame of the sin of the first couple, Adam and Eve. This is the beginning of the scarlet thread, you see, that runs through the Bible. Because those animal skins would indicate the first animal sacrifice. Those animals that were killed whose blood was the first sacrifice. That's the indication. Then throughout the patriarchal age, which lasted about 2,500 years or until the law of Moses was given on Sinai, faithful men of God could be traced by the smoke from their altars, it is said. That is, from the blood of the Lamb on Abel's altar in Genesis 4, via Abraham's offerings and via countless others, the scarlet thread winds its way throughout the history of God's people. Remember the night of the first Passover? As the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage, about to be released, when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, only those who had blood on the lintels and doorposts were saved from death. They were saved by the scarlet thread. Then God later gave Moses a law on Mount Sinai that was dedicated with the blood of animals. Thus, through the 1,500 years of the Jewish age, the offering of bulls and goats, rams and lambs, turtle doves, pigeons, by thousands and thousands, made a trail of scarlet, a trail of blood that led to the ushering in of the Christian age and the offering of a better sacrifice. What was that better sacrifice? Yes, it was the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The writer of the Hebrew Epistle, in Hebrews chapter 10, and at verse 4, wrote these words, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." You see, those things just led to the ultimate sacrifice that could take away sins once and for all. So Christ was once offered, once for all offered, to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Then, in Colossians 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul declares, "In whom," that is, in Christ, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." You see, the shedding of His blood is the climax of the scarlet thread, without which all the blood of animals, the rope of Rahab before the cross, and all the baptisms and all the observances of the Lord's Supper this side of the cross will all be useless, totally without value, were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ, the climax of this scarlet thread that we see running throughout the Scriptures. Now, isn't it a beautiful thing to see the harmony of God's plan as it comes to its fruition, its culmination in Jesus Christ? Beginning way back with the beginning of time, and winding its way through time, the scarlet thread is ever present. But now, how does baptism relate? How does baptism fit in with the scarlet thread? Some say it doesn't fit in at all. Some say it's not necessary. But all would say, those who claim to be religious at all, that the blood is necessary. Those who claim to believe in Christ and in God would claim that the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves us, certainly, and that we must have that cleansing blood. But how do we come in contact with that blood, that scarlet thread? That's where baptism enters the picture, you see. That's where it enters. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 at verse 3. "Or do you not know," he asked, writing to Christians now, "do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Now, since Christ shed His blood in His death, then every scriptural baptism has been a part of the scarlet thread. You see, Jesus did shed His blood in His death. You remember in John 19:34, we have recorded the fact the soldiers came to the cross, and realizing that Christ was already dead, they thrust the spear into His side, and there came forth blood and water. The blood that was shed in His death is the blood that cleanses us when we comply with the likeness of His death, which is a burial in water, the water of baptism, as Christ Himself commanded, and it is for the forgiveness of our sins. Then and only then do we come into contact with the scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus Christ, and its cleansing power. You see the harmony of God's plan throughout, and how it culminates in Jesus Christ and in our burial with Him through baptism for the remission of sins. And then after we have done that, we stay in touch with the scarlet thread. The blood of Christ continues to cleanse us, in other words, as we continue to live the Christian life faithfully. So writes John, the apostle, in 1 John 1 and verse 7. "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses," that is, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And also as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we as Christians are required to do every first day of the week, then we're in communion with the blood. Jesus said, "This cup," meaning the Lord's Supper, "is the New Testament in my blood." He said, "As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And then we see how the early Christians drank it, how often they drank it the first day of every week. Acts 20 and verse 7 makes that clear. Those who partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day keep in touch with the scarlet thread. And this will continue until the saints, the Christians, meet Christ in the air and are ever with Him in heaven. Paul wrote that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show the Lord's death until He comes. It's no wonder that the devil has attacked, warped, twisted, and perverted the subjects of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and many other subjects for that matter, because he knows that if he can keep people deceived regarding baptism, regarding the Lord's Supper, he can keep them from the scarlet thread. But one who willfully ceases to observe the Lord's Supper, one who refuses to be baptized for the remission of his sins, has jeopardized his eternal soul and is in far greater jeopardy than one of Rahab's family would have been if he had gone out of the house protected by that scarlet thread long ago.